Well, I am excited, as always, to be together with all of you, opening up God's Word together and waiting for Him to speak into our lives, just like we do every week. So please grab your copy of the Bible. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, if you'd like to follow along. We've just been going through this book together, verse by verse, really, and we're going to continue that journey this morning. Our topic for this morning is called Supporting the Truth Through Understanding. Supporting the Truth Through Understanding. You've probably noticed this. I know I've noticed it in my life. When you're having a conversation with people, where do you tend to talk? Where do you tend to try to direct the conversation? It's usually towards something that you understand, something that you know a little bit about. I read this book recently. It was by a guy named MacArthur. You've probably heard of him. So MacArthur was talking about his life and how he went to West Point before he really got full steam ahead into the military. And he said while he was at West Point, they were studying in this one section of their book about Einstein's theory of relativity. And MacArthur said he just couldn't understand it. He's reading the page over and over again, couldn't understand it. So he memorized the whole page, word for word. So then they get into the class, and the teacher's name is Colonel Feiberger. And so he's kind of going around the class asking people questions. And he comes to MacArthur. And he says, MacArthur, tell us about the theory of relativity. Well, he said, I just quoted the whole thing, word for word, because I didn't know anything about it. He said, Feiberger looked at him with this quizzical look. And he said, MacArthur, do you understand this? He said, it was a bad moment for me. But I said, no, sir. Well, you could have heard a pin drop in this classroom. And finally, Colonel Feiberger says, neither do I, MacArthur. Section dismissed. Now, I think it's very funny, but it also makes an important point for us. They didn't even talk about it because nobody understood it. And if you and I are to be supporters of the truth, we have to really understand the truth. We have to understand the things that God is doing in our lives and that He wants to do in the lives of those around us. That's how we can best support the truth. So as we get into God's Word today, this new section in the book of Colossians, Paul begins going over the things that have happened in these Colossians' lives as a result of their salvation. So we're going to be talking about understanding this. What happened to you the day you were saved? What in the world happened at your salvation? Let's pray together, and then we'll get into the Bible together. Father, thank you so much for how you love us. We just welcome you here today. Thank you, Lord, that you are here with us. The Bible says you're rejoicing over us with shouts of joy. And Lord, I thank you for every single person that's here. I thank you for our visitors today. I thank you for those who are here every single Sunday. Lord, I just thank you for bringing us together. We do pray that you'll be our teacher today and that you'll give us a deeper understanding of the things in your Bible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So just a little review. Paul didn't know the Colossians, but he is writing this letter to them from a prison cell, introducing himself to them. So we talked about how we also, like Paul, can support the truth by building relationships with people. And as we build these relationships and get to know people and love people, we'll be able to tell them a little bit more about the Lord. Then Paul begins praying for them. He says, listen, I heard about you. I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and how you love one another. And so I want you to know that I am praying for you. And now he begins this week to start talking about what it is that happened to them when they became Christians. Look at verse 13 together with me. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So stop there for a couple of minutes. The first thing we need to realize, this is what happened the day you were saved. You had a change of citizenship. You were rescued from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So just think about a couple of those words. It says you were rescued. And yes, that word means exactly what it sounds like it means. You had fallen over a cliff 100 feet down. You are on a little tiny ledge. You are hanging on for dear life. Below you, there's 200, 300, 400 feet. And there is no way you can get out of this situation. But in comes the Coast Guard helicopter. And they lower a guy down by a rope and swing him over there, and he wraps his strong arms around you and wraps a rope around you, and that helicopter pulls you up off the side of the cliff, rescued. Nothing you could have done on your own, but someone came in and rescued you. My brother Davey was in the military in Coast Guard for 20 years. He was a helicopter mechanic and an airplane mechanic. But he loved being in the Coast Guard because he would get to go on these rescue missions. He didn't fly the plane, but he would go on the missions and they would rescue people from desperate situations like that. And so he would just see their gratitude, the joy, the exuberance after they got pulled out of that situation. Friends, that's what's happened. That's what happened the day you became a Christian. Our Heavenly Father rescued you. Not something you could have ever done on your own. What did he rescue you from? The domain of darkness. What is that talking about? That word domain could also be translated from the power of darkness. It could also be translated from the authority of darkness. There is something going on in our world. There's a battle raging in our world for the lives of men and women. And I think it's important that we understand this. If you would, keep your finger here in Colossians 1 and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I just want us to look at three quick verses that talk a little bit more about this domain of darkness. Just to see it from a little bit of a different angle. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. It says, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ in the image of God. So that verse tells us a couple of things. There is a God of this world. And of course, we know that's Satan. He's the one who tempted Adam and Eve in the first place. And he has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. How's he done that? Through his lies. He's convinced people that there is no God, that it's all a big accident, that we're just here by random chance. I mean, those are just a few of the lies that are out there, right? Satan is behind it. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. And this lets you see a little bit more of that, just with a few more details. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. According to the Bible, Satan is alive and real, and he is leading an army against what our Heavenly Father is trying to do. And that is who our struggle is with. It's not ultimately with our friend who hasn't invited the Lord into their heart yet. It's with Satan and what he's trying to do. He's the head of this domain of darkness. Turn with me to one more place, Romans chapter 7. And this just makes it really personal, this battle that we're in. Romans 7, start in verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. Drop down to verse 18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. That's to those who are still under the domain of darkness. Jesus put it this way. He said, whoever commits sin is the slave of sin. You know, the Jews were telling him, we've never been enslaved to anyone. What do you mean you're going to set us free? He wants to set us free from sin. He wants to set us free from the domain of darkness that Satan is in charge of. So going back to Colossians chapter 1, we've been transferred out of the domain of darkness to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So we have a new citizenship as Christians. This is what happened the day you put your faith in Jesus Christ. You were placed into God's kingdom. You're certainly still living down here on this earth, but you are now a stranger and an alien. This is not your home. You are looking forward to a new home, a better place, a heavenly home, the Bible sometimes calls it. The Bible says he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. And that is where you are a citizen of right now. I love the picture in the Old Testament of of God freeing the Jews from Egypt. Remember, the whole nation of Israel are enslaved in Egypt. They're making them do whatever they want them to do. And God sends in Moses and all these mighty miracles. And by the time he's done, the Egyptians say, please leave. Go. And so they do. And God leads his people out of Egypt, and he leads them into the promised land. They have a new citizenship, so to speak. And it's such a good picture of what's happened to you and I in the Lord Jesus Christ. We belong to him now. How did that happen? Go on into verse 14. Let's read the end of 13 again. He transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So very simply, you have been redeemed. The idea behind that word is there was a purchase price paid for you. Jesus paid that price. Maybe you've taken coupons out of the newspaper occasionally and taken them into the store to redeem them, right? You turn them in and you get stuff in return. Well, the idea behind redemption is that there was a ransom paid for a prisoner. You and I were held captive by Satan, but Jesus paid the ransom to buy us out of the slave market of sin. That's the idea that's being talked about here with redemption. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's also what happened the day that you became a Christian. Your sins were forgiven. They were washed away, just like that verse in the Old Testament. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Wow. Love that. The guilt has been removed from your shoulders the day you became a Christian. I know so many people, you know, they are living under a burden. They say, I am so far from God. God could never love me. God could never want me. And that is so not true. That's why he gave his life on the cross, so you and I can be forgiven, completely forgiven. So who did this? This was really the aim of our reader's theater this morning. If you look at these next verses, it's talking about the Lord Jesus. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Now, these next three or four verses just talk over and over again from every different angle about who Jesus is. I'm going to try not to get stuck here. Because we spent a lot of time here when we went through the Gospels talking about how God himself came to this earth, right? The resurrection showed us it was him. The way he died showed us it was him. His miracles, his teaching, the witnesses that he chose, all these different things showed us who Jesus was. So I'm going to try not to get stuck here. But I do want to talk about these verses briefly. Okay, it says he's the image of the invisible God. Of course, an image is like a picture, right? We got a few on the walls at home. You know, I can look at it and go, oh, that's my son Jonathan. So how can you have an image of an invisible God? You can have that because Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, laid aside his glory and took on humanity. He became a man. He came here to show us what the invisible God is like. And it's an incredible picture that he loves us passionately, all people. He told, let the little children come to me. He said, I have other sheep that are not of this flock. I have to go in search of them too. It's not just the Jewish people. It's an incredible picture that we see of our Heavenly Father that Jesus brought to us. He is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of all creation. Okay, the idea behind that word is not that Jesus is a created being, the firstborn. That's a mistake, I believe a serious mistake, that the Jehovah Witnesses make. Their idea is that God created Jesus, and then Jesus created everything else. The idea behind this word firstborn is preeminence. It's like the firstborn in the Old Testament. The firstborn son had all these extra privileges, great privileges. He inherited most of his father's possessions and livelihood and all that type of thing. He was the preeminent one. And that is the way firstborn is being used here because it's described in the very next verse. It says, for, he's the firstborn among all creation, for by him all things were created. Not some things, not a few things, all things, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Now, how can this all fit? How can this all work together? The Old Testament tells us that our God is one. It's called the Trinity. The Bible presents our God to us as one God in three persons. That's why we baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Three persons in one. Now I know, I am with you. This is hard to wrap our brains around. How can God be three in one? How can the Father be in heaven and the Son be on earth? How can all those things be true? Well, I don't know all the answers to that. I am thankful that I worship and serve a God who is a lot smarter than me and knows a lot more than I know. But I do see pictures of it in the world around us. So many pictures of Him as a Trinity. I mean, I'm not a great science guy, but I've heard this a long time ago. Our universe is made up of three things. Interesting. It's made up of space, time, and matter. Space is made up of three things: height, depth, and width. Time is made up of three things: past, present, and future. And matter is in three forms: solid, liquid, and gas. You think about us just as beings that were created in the image of God. The Bible says we are body, soul, and spirit. I'm telling you, you are not just a bunch of electrons flying around. And your mind is more than that. You have a living soul. The Bible says that God breathed into, He created Adam from the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He became a living soul. So I believe you are, in a similar way, a triune being: body, soul, and spirit. Anyhow, I know it's hard to wrap our brains around, but this is who our great God is. And He continues His discussion here. Verse 17, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Jesus is holding this universe together. He's also the head of the body, the church. Okay, I'm not in charge here. Hallelujah. Jesus is in charge here. Our elders, we are not in charge here. He is. At least we are doing everything we can figure out to do to make sure that He's in charge. That's why we believe there should be a plurality of leadership. And we are supposed to keep one another accountable. Make sure we don't get off track. Because our ambition is to follow the Lord Jesus as He leads this church. That's our ambition. He's the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Jesus rose from the grave. It says in another place in the Bible that He's the firstborn among many brethren. The idea there is, you and I are going to follow in His footsteps. There's coming a day when we're going to lose this old earthly body. We're going to get a new glorified body. And we are going to be with the Lord Jesus. We're going to be in His presence. We're going to speak with Him. We're going to worship Him in a new glorified body. So He's the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him. He is the incomparable Christ. Now, why is Paul going to all this trouble to talk about who Jesus is? This is, brothers and sisters, this is how you and I can know that we have been taken out of the domain of darkness and placed in the kingdom of His beloved Son. We can know it because God Himself came to this earth in search of you and me and gave His life for us. He said, I want you to be my treasured possession. And you are now the apple of His eye. You're his beloved son, his beloved daughter. You're one day going to be with him forever. And he's showing this to us, who this great King of the universe is, so that we can have confidence that this really has happened. We've been taken out of that domain of darkness and placed into the kingdom of his beloved son. All right, he goes on to describe a little bit more of what happens to you the day you were saved. Verse 20. And through him, that is through Jesus, to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. That day you were saved, you were brought back into a right relationship with your heavenly Father. According to the Bible, you and I are born into Satan's kingdom, into his domain. We are actually born with a sinful nature. You know, our current culture tries to say that everyone is basically good. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that we are born with a bent toward selfishness, with a bent toward walking away from our heavenly Father. That's just what comes natural. And I think we see it in the world around us. You realize there's never been a time period in mankind's history when there wasn't war, hatred, anger, envy, jealousy, relationship problems. The list is long. We're the only beings on the planet that have this incredible ideal for the perfect man or woman, and we never live up to it. That's because we're born into a sinful nature. But we have now been transferred into the kingdom of his Son. He came to reconcile all things to himself. This barrier that was between you and your heavenly Father, Jesus has removed it, and you now have peace with God. That's the very next part of the verse. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. All right, here's another thing that happened to you that day. Although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. So you went from engaged in evil deeds to holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Now, in God's eyes, you did that in an instant because he wrapped his robe of righteousness around you. Now, the Bible says you were justified just as if you hadn't sinned, is what some people would say. But I think it's even better than that, that Jesus has credited his righteousness to you. So now when he sees you, he sees his Son. You've been reconciled to God. And you and I can have peace with God because of this. He's forgiven our sins, and we now are at peace with God. That was Billy Graham was so famous for saying that, right? Have you made peace with God? I remember hearing about an interview he had with one of those fast-talking TV people. And he's doing everything he can to keep Billy Graham off balance. And Billy Graham stops him in the middle of the interview, and he says, I can't remember the guy's name, but he says, Frank, have you made peace with God? This is on national TV. And the guy's like, blah, blah, blah. It was a fascinating conversation. Well, because of Jesus, we have made peace with our Heavenly Father. So I would just like to end in this way. You know, we talked at the beginning about how we can support the truth through understanding. So the better our understanding is, the more we'll be willing to talk about this, interested in talking about this with other people. So if you and I are truly experiencing God's peace, God's forgiveness. You know, we don't have to walk around with the burden of guilt on our shoulders anymore. Sometimes it seems harder to forgive ourselves than it is for God to forgive us. But we don't have to carry that burden anymore. So you and I should walk through life experiencing God's peace, God's forgiveness. And the more we do, the more we understand how this happened, the little journey that we took together today, the more excited you'll be to talk about it with other people. Just think, you can offer people forgiveness. You can offer people eternal life. You can offer people a relationship with the living God who made heaven and earth. What a privilege we have. Let's support the truth together, brothers and sisters. And I don't want to leave here today without just giving the invitation. If there is anyone here who is not sure your sins are forgiven, that you are on your way to heaven, I just encourage you to ask the Lord to save your soul. Jesus said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Like we talked about at the beginning, I cannot save myself. I couldn't in a million years have ever paid for my own sin. But Jesus did. And so now if we just turn to him and say, Lord, I'm so sorry for my sin. Please forgive me. Come into my life. Make me a new creature. We put our faith in him that way. He says he will. He says he will do the work. So I really encourage you to do that today if you never have. And if you have questions about it, I would love to talk more with you about it. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you right now again, Lord, for being here with us today, Father. Lord, I thank you for the Bible that speaks into our lives. Lord, we thank you for the incomparable Christ. Lord, that you are the God of glory, come to earth, loving us. Lord, we just worship you together. Lord, would you lead us through this week? Would you just help us to walk with you, closely with you, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.